Thanks for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. This sermon was based upon the lectionary readings for the day. To stay connected at Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check us out on the web. Thanks for listening and stay connected.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Brother David, and I'm visiting your church this morning. But I'm the one who's going to talk to you today, okay? I brought some things with me in my pocket, and I'm going to describe them to you and see if you can guess what they are, okay? The first thing I'm touching in here is long and skinny. And on one end, what do you think it is? A candle. That's a good guess. What else is long and skinny? Magic stick? A pencil? Ooh, you're getting warm. What else could it be if it's just like a pencil? A pen. Okay. That's the first thing I have. What's the purpose of a pen? What do we use a pen for? For writing. That's right. Or we might even be able to use it for drawing. But we wouldn't use a pen, would we, if we wanted to put a nail on the wall. We couldn't use a pen, could we? That wouldn't work very good. What do we need? A hammer, because the purpose of a hammer is to pound nails, and the purpose of a pen is to write. Now, here's the second thing. This is also kind of long and skinny, but the end of it is kind of curved, like round. What do you think it could be? A walking stick. That might be a little bit big to get in my pocket. Let's see, what else could it be? It's kind of long and skinny, but the end of it is kind of round. And this one feels like it's made of plastic. And what's that? A spoon. There it is. I brought this from my hotel room. This is a spoon. What's a spoon for? For eating. That's right. And a spoon has a special purpose, isn't it? It helps us to scoop something up and bring it up to our mouth. Like, what kinds of things do we eat with a spoon? Applesauce would be good to eat with a spoon. What else?
Ice cream,
definitely, definitely. This is a girl after my own heart here. I think like she does. Yes, that's good. Okay, one more thing. Now, this thing is different. It's not long and skinny. It's kind of stretchy. Oh, good guess. There it is, right there, a rubber band. No, this is just a regular rubber band. Now, what's the purpose of a rubber band? To wrap around a bag. That would work. That's right. Good. Or to put around your arm or wrist or to hold something, right? So each of these things has a purpose. And it's best if you use this thing for the purpose that it was made for. Okay. Now, something else I want to tell you today, and that is that you too have a purpose. God made you, and God made you for a reason. You have a purpose too. Just like a spoon has a purpose. One purpose could be taking care of plants. That would be a good purpose, isn't it? Or to take care of animals. What other purposes could you have? What other things? What was your idea? Taking care of animals? Well, there's lots of purposes, aren't there? Maybe one purpose could be you could be a friend. That would be a good purpose. One purpose could be you could be a helper. That would be a good purpose. Who could you help? Your teacher? Your parents? Your friend? Good. Those would be wonderful purposes. And Jesus said there's one very important purpose. In fact, the most important purpose for us, and that is to love. Jesus said, God made you, and he made you for a special purpose, and the biggest, most important purpose is to love. love, you're doing just what God made you to do. Like loving your parents. Very good. Thank you so much for this time with you. You can go back to your seats. Thank you.
So, what's your purpose? For what have you been created? And take a look at our lessons today, and they all share this common theme. In the book of Nehemiah, we read about the prophet Ezra gathering the people together to read for them in the presence of all the people the law of God, to remind them of their purpose, to remind them of what they've been called to be, to remind them of their vocation in the world, to be the people of God. And in the letter to the Corinthians, Paul writes that we all have a specific purpose, just like the parts of our body each have a purpose and a function. So we all have a purpose and function, all of us. And in the Gospel of Luke, we have Jesus returning to his hometown, going to the synagogue, and choosing from the book of Isaiah a passage that revealed his purpose. He opened the scroll of the book of Isaiah, we read, and he read these words, "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to bring release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus sat down then and looked at the audience and he said, "This is my purpose. This is my calling. This is my vocation in the world." So what's our purpose, yours and mine? Well, I think we could talk about our purpose in two ways. One is we could say we have a general purpose that we all share. In the beginning of the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius, the 16th century Spanish saint, St. Ignatius reminds us that we have been created to know God, to love God, and to serve God. That's our function. That's our purpose. That's what God had in mind when God created us. Ignatius is saying, you're different from every other living being on earth in that you have the capacity to know God. And this knowledge is not only knowledge about God, it's actually knowing God in love. You have the capacity to love God and to receive God's love. And furthermore, this love that you receive and that you can give is expressed in service. You have the capacity to work with God in service to the world. You have been created for this purpose, all of you, all of us, to know God, to love God, and to serve God. And it's only when we find this purpose, find some way to live into this purpose and realize this purpose and express this purpose in our life that we find real fulfillment and joy. St. Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. And St. Ignatius would have said, our lives are meaningless and empty until they find this purpose and live into this purpose and embrace this purpose to know, love, and serve God. But in addition to this general purpose, each of us have a particular purpose, a particular calling, a particular vocation. I like the definition of vocation that was given by the Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann. He said, a vocation is a purpose for being in the world that is related to the purposes of God. A vocation is a purpose for being in the world that is related to the purposes of God. Now, maybe you have a sense of vocation about being a parent, that your being a parent is somehow related to God's desire to nurture the children that you've brought into the world. Or maybe you have a vocation, a sense of vocation about your career, if you're a teacher or a lawyer or a house cleaner or whatever you are, you have a sense that part of what you're doing and how you're doing is meant to be part of what God is doing in the world. A vocation is a purpose for being in the world that's related to the purposes of God. If we think about Jesus, we'd have to say Jesus had a strong sense of vocation. He had a strong sense that his being in the world was related to the purposes of God. His being was related to what God was doing and wanting to do in the world. He said things like, "The words that I speak are not my words, they're the words that the Father gives me. And the things you see me doing are the things that the Father is doing in the world." And he even went so far as to say, "The Father and I are one." He very much saw what he did and what he said and how he conducted himself in the world to be in line with, in conjunction with, and one with what God was doing in the world, what God wanted to have done in the world. So what can we say about vocation? I think we can say several things. First of all, we all have one. No exceptions. You have a vocation. You have a purpose for being in the world that is related to the purposes of God. And secondly, I think we can say our vocation is some sort of expression of who we are. Our vocation has to take into account our talents and our abilities, our likes, our passions, our skills. It reflects who we are. Just like the parts of the body are different from one another in form and in function, so are we different from one another, and our vocation needs to express our own individual characteristics. Third, we can say that our vocation is related to the purposes of God. Well, what are the purposes of God in the world? What is God doing in the world? And the Christian message is that God is overcoming hatred with love, and overcoming evil with good, and overcoming brokenness with healing. And God is at work in the world, we say, healing and reconciling and making all things new. So our vocation will be part of that work, will be an expression of that work. And fourth, we can say our vocation will be of benefit to others. We're not given a vocation just for ourselves. It always leads us into community, into contact with others, into service with others. It's always pushing us beyond our own self limits into places of service. And finally, I'd say that vocation will stretch us. It will challenge us. It will ask more of us than we are right now. It will push us onward. Our founder, the founder of our community, Father Benson, used to say that God's call to us is continuous and ongoing. It's progressive. We'll continue to be called into vocation by God when we're in our 20s and in our 40s and in our 60s and in our 80s. God's call keeps coming to us, keeps beckoning us to join God in the work that needs to be done in the world. How do we find this vocation that's uniquely and particularly ours? The best advice is pay attention. Pay attention to yourself. Come to know yourself. Examine yourself. Who am I? Irenaeus, a saint from the second century, said, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." What makes you come alive? That's your vocation. To remember that you're made for something more. You're given a vocation. You're given a calling. You have a purpose for being in the world that is related to the purposes of God. Thank you for having Brother Jonathan and me here today. We've appreciated being in your midst. God bless you.